Let us declare year 2016 our personal year of fulfillment. Say this with me. Let your will be done on earth as it is already done in heaven. In my family, in my faith, in my health, my finances, and relationships. With this fulfillment thought we've been working with, we first talked about intentions of fulfillment, that you need to be directed towards something, and then we talked about our word becoming flesh and how it's so important about the written word becoming flesh and writing things down. With that in mind, Monty was going to put those prayer guides back on the altar, but also fulfillment forms will be at the altar as well. The word says this, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. What word do you want to become flesh this year in your life? What do you want to see fulfilled? Because there's supernatural creative power in your written words. Tell somebody this. Are you ready? Go. A year from now, you may wish you'd started today. Say it. Right on. Because New Year's resolutions don't really work. 25% of people abandon them and after a week, 60% abandon them after about 6 months. But the deal is if you write it down, you are 42% more likely to achieve it. That is a proven fact, 42%. So go ahead and write down what you believe, because what you believe is very, very important to God. The scripture tells you, delight yourself in the Lord and he will what? Give you what? Say it real loud. Give you the desires of your heart. Right on. So whatever's in your heart, God must like. Say this with me. God likes what's in my heart. What you going to label yourself this morning? Who are you? Where you want to be? Where you want to go? What do you want to do? I mean, if I label myself, am I dependable, determined, supportive? What are the things I want to become? What are the things I already am caring? Are you writing things down and declaring what you believe to be true? This is my family. Nice family picture. You know what? I've got that in my note, you know, and I write words next to every one of them because this is what I believe. I believe in the power of the written word. I want them healthy. I want them humble. I want them servant. Last week we talked about, do you have a dream in honor of Martin Luther King's birthday? And today we're going to continue on thoughts about dreams, about seven ironic truths of why God is present in your dream. Say, God is present in my dreams. We're going to borrow that from the story of Jacob, but let's stand on our feet right now. We're going to read a lot of Bible verses right now. Are you ready to read a lot of Bible verses? We're going to read Genesis 28:11 through 19. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Then Jacob departed from Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head and lay down in that place. Now, and he dreamed, and behold, there was a what? A leopard. And God was on top of it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of your father Abraham and God of your Isaac. And the land on which you lie, I will give it to you and your descendants. And your descendants will be as the dust of the earth, and they will stretch from west to the east, from the north to the south, all the families. You know, I picked this image because God's word came true. All the families of the earth are blessed. I mean, we've got more than half the earth's population believes there's only one God. Only one. Now, there's modifications coming for all of that, and the love of Christ is going to come into all that, and that's what we're working at. But the reality is that this man's dream came true. There it is. You're looking at it in the room. Let's keep going. And I with you will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land until I've done. That's good news. And when Jacob woke up from his sleep, he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. This is none other than the house of God. And what? Oh, someone say hallelujah. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took a stone that he had put under his head as a pillar and poured oil on the top. And he called the name of it Bethel, which means the house of God. You read a lot of scripture this morning. Good job. Say somebody out loud, because God's got a plan, I've got a plan. Right on. Let's declare the miracle of abundant life. Ready? I now relinquish all resentments, grievances, and regrets. And what do? I choose the miracle. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated all around the room. Don't be afraid to dream. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but guess what? But when your dreams come true at last, there is life and joy. Look at somebody and say, life and joy comes through your dreams. I mean, the Old Testament, you have some symbols, you have angels, visions, dreams, symbolic actions, whispers, miracles. God is all over the place. But dreams, as they've been studied, are a succession of sensations, images, and emotions and ideas that occur usually involuntarily in your mind during certain stages of sleep. One third of our lives are spent sleeping. Some of you more than that, but the reality is this. In your lifetime, you will spend about 6 years of it dreaming. So then, that is more than 2,100 days. Everybody dreams. Just because you don't remember your dreams, it does not mean that you didn't dream. And we dream on an average of 1 to 2 hours every night. How many know they dream that much at night? How many know you do that? Right on. Let's go. And we often have 4 to 7 dreams in one night. 5 minutes after the end of the dream, half the content is forgotten. After 10 minutes, 99% is lost. And if you are snoring, then you cannot be dreaming. So if your friend, your spouse is snoring, you know what? They're not dreaming. They're just sleeping. So then, men tend to dream more about other men. I always thought that was funny. Anyway, but women dream equally about men and women. And people who give up smoking have longer and more intense dreams. So if you want longer and more intense dreams, take up a season of smoking, then give it up, and then drink. Go ahead. Anyway, toddlers do not dream about themselves, but they don't impair their own dreams until about the age of 4. So that's pretty cool. This is what the Bible says about dreams. Are you ready? For God speaks again in Job, he says this. God speaks again and again in dreams and visions of the night. When deep sleep falls on a person as they lie on their beds, he opens their ears in times like that and gives them wisdom and instruction, causing them to change their what? Minds, and keeping them from what? Pride. That's cool. And warning them of penalties of sin and keeping them from falling into some trap. So dreams can be useful. How many of you have ever had a dream that was intensely useful to you, that you utilized in real life? It prepared you for something. It brought you to something. And you know what's going to happen here? We don't have as much time this morning. That was a beautiful altar call. So I just thank God that he visits us. Amen. That's so cool. But you know, I have dreams. I do home improvement projects. So those of you who are looking at me this morning, if you're looking at me from this side, you'll see that I am now Pastor Scar or Pastor Scarface, because one of my projects got me. And it got me really good. And I was like on the side of the fridge. It was like this. It was one of those things where you're working on something and you experiment and you realize that I might have made this too big for this space, because when I tried to get out of it, it got me good. And so no one's home, and I had like quiet meditation music playing and stuff, and while all of this calm is happening in the house, I'm bleeding profusely from the side of my head. I have to get blood. I get an ice pack. And so it looks worse when they get home than it really was. Like the girls, oh my God, what happened to you? No, it's just dry blood, honey. It's okay. It's merely a flesh wound. And it certainly is a flesh wound, but we do things around the house. But I'll never forget, I've got 5 children. You saw a picture of my children. The family's expanding. I got 5 kids. And in parenting, you go through different seasons of life, and you want to do the best that you can. Right? You want to do your best for your kids. And so, but sometimes we don't always do the best, or we kind of get lost, and we're not contributing to the family. You know, that's when your wife shows up and says, you know, you're not really here. I am here. No, you're not. You're not really here. And I have no idea what she means. What do you mean I'm not here? But she's right. There were days that I was not there and everything was focused about the business and how we're going to do it and how I'm going to do this and how I'm going to make this happen. How I'm going to become that. And so we keep having kids and we keep having life and life keeps moving and somehow trying to order up that life and prioritize that life and keep things in its proper place and have the energy to do it. It can be daunting sometimes. All the parents in the room say, what? Amen. I mean, your job requires you. I mean, what's wrong with that? If we're trying to make a living, why is that a bad thing? But yet, you've got to find balance. You've got to find that place where the two of you can agree. You've got to make those trade-offs. Because in marriages, so all the married people in the room, here's the other, this is full of trade-offs. If you don't know how to trade off and negotiate, hey, man. And that's what it's all about. Forever, for better, for worse, richer, for poorer, all those beautiful things. But from time to time, God would shake me up. I'll never forget one time, it was a dream that one of my children had that shook me up about what was happening at home or what I was neglecting. And one of my children, real small, she's in the bedroom and she's screaming. And we were in the old house, so the younger kids that are in the sanctuary, they know that I'm not talking about them right now. It was an old house. She's screaming, and I come into her bedroom. And I'm going, honey, what's the matter? What's the matter? Daddy, there's snakes all over my bed. There's snakes all over my bed. Honey, they're not snakes on your bed because they're where? I'd be in the backyard run away already. And she's crying. She's screaming. And so I hold her and we just talk and we pray. And I had realized that I was not praying before bed regularly with them as I had done before. And so we would begin to pray, and then every night I made it a point to get in the room, pray with them before bed, and after that, that just never happened again, and that kind of avarition or whatever that was gone, and that was cool. And I'll never forget some weeks later, you know, and actually it was James and Francine at the time. Olivia hadn't been born yet. And James and Franny, I would come in and we'd pray before bed. And these guys are like 6 and 7 years old at the time, 5 and a half, 6. And at one point we got into this habit of praying. This habit of praying came from Franny having the bad dream. And so after we got in the habit of praying, I was standing with them one night and they're praying and they looked forward to this. And I say, hey, you know, you guys ever pray in the spirit before? You guys know praying in tongues, right? Praying in spirit. And I was just curious. I was just like, God, how do you do that with kids? You know, what does that happen? And I said, but Dad, you ever prayed in the spirit before? I said, no, Daddy, we never prayed in the spirit before. I said, well, you ever heard me do it? Yeah, well, we thought you were just speaking Spanish. I said, no, I was praying in tongues. Cool. I am bilingual. Heaven has a language and the earth has a language, right? Yeah. So I said, well, would you like to be filled with the Holy Spirit and with the evidence of tongues? And they both said yes. So easy, you know. It's nothing like so. And I said, okay, just pray. And I said, and I prayed and they prayed. And all of a sudden, they both began to speak in tongues. And no one could tell me. See, this is one of the moments where no one could tell me that it wasn't real and that they were conjuring something or this is that. No, this was for real. These are two kids who simply believed that God could cause them to pray in a heavenly language. And because they believed it like a what? Child. It happened. Because the Holy Spirit, it's a bridge between heaven and earth, and a lot of it happens in your dreams. But here's some of the drywall that was in the basement, and I'll never forget, I was having dreams, we were remodeling the basement, and it was driving me nuts, and it just seemed like me and Denny could never get the taping done, and it was like Denny Reddy was helping me, and things are a mess, and it's like things are going on, and I'm in the dream, I'm walking through, and how many inspect your work? You go in the water, and you're inspecting your work, and I'm inspecting the work, and it wasn't a big house, so the hallway kept getting longer and longer, And I kept saying to myself, how am I ever going to finish all this work? Look at all these walls. Who's going to paint these walls? Of course, it's going to be me. That's not anybody going to help. And you know, and I'm going, and suddenly I realized as the hallway got longer, this is not real. This is a dream. And so you kind of calm down in your dream, and you keep going, and it's like, yeah, this is a lot of drywall and taping. Wow, this is a lot of drywall and taping. Wow, this is a lot of drywall and taping. Then when I got at the end of the hall, finally, I made a left turn. And when I made a left turn, there was an unfinished bedroom in the corner. In the bedroom, there was a little guy laying in bed. As I looked, a voice behind me said, John, there'll always be walls to finish. That was it. And I fell out of bed. And I wept uncontrollably because in my dream he was warning me, keeping me from a snare, keeping me from a trap, keeping me from deceiving myself that all the busy work that I was doing was really that important. He says, the most important thing in your life right now is in a room all the way to the end of this hall that you've created. And unless at some point you take a moment and be a father and be intentional and love him. I said, Lord, enough said. I learned my lesson. And, you know, and James is here on Sunday mornings. He ministers with us. And you guys love James, right? Right. You know, we might not have him if I didn't have that dream. But the Bible says uninterpreted dreams, or the Talmud says uninterpreted dreams are like unread letters. The Bible says this one thing about dreams, and I'll conclude with this, and we'll talk about more next week. That dreams can be a spiritual bridge of communication between heaven and earth. For the prophecy of Joel says this, and it's fulfilled in Acts chapter 2, that in the last days, it came to pass afterwards in the last days, that I will pour out my what? Spirit upon what? All flesh. And what's going to happen? Sons and your daughters. Everybody say sons and your daughters. So right away, the Lord is telling you in the future that, you know, gender equity is the call of the day. Not just sons prophesying. Sons and daughters will prophesy. And what else will happen? Your old men will what? Shall dream dreams. And your young men shall what? Seeing visions. So since the resurrection of Jesus Christ, this place here, this brain, that imagination place, has the potential of illuminating and being filled with truth, even in our most subconscious moments. God is present with you. And I really want to talk about to you about these seven. But is it okay if I save it for next week? You cool with that? Let's stand up on our feet right now. Because I got the children's ministry's got a release. I mean, seriously. They're good kids, but you know. Right on. Let's bow your head and close your eyes all around the room. One of the profound stories about Jacob and Jacob's dream is that it was probably the most inopportune time. It wasn't the best time. He's running away. Things aren't good. And he's in a place in his life where he makes a stone for a pillow. Everyone say uncomfortable. Is anybody in the room uncomfortable this morning in your life? I said, Pastor, I am uncomfortable because God will speak to you in that uncomfortable place. And that's one of the seven ironic truths, is that in that most uncomfortable place, God will speak to you. Maybe you're a pastor, they were reading the Bible. It might happen to you in your dreams. God utilizes every part of your life for good. Now, my wife had a dream when we were dating. And as she was describing it to me, I could see it. I could see the kids. I could see things. I could see what we were going to do in the future. It was amazing. It was amazing. Some of the details of the dream that still haven't fully come to pass yet, but I see pieces of it. And I'm just telling you that if you've been afraid to dream because it's kind of fallen apart or you've been hurt, I want you to lift your hand up. I want God to restore your faith in the word that He's given you, that He spoke to you. He was there. He told you He would be with you every step of the way. He told you He would see it through to the very end. Every life, especially in the Old Testament, every one of these people had just unimaginable detours that happened in their life that they needed God to walk them through and move them through. And that's what love and grace will do. Love and grace will get you through those detours. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everyone here, they are not alone this morning. God is with them. And like you said to Jacob, not only am I with you, I will bless you. I will see this thing through. So, Lord, I pray that your sons and daughters recommit themselves to their dreams this morning. Recommit themselves to the things that they're believing and fill it out and make out forms, put pictures of their family and start declaring and taking ownership of their life and taking ownership of their future, not only with what they say and do, but with the work that they do, with the things they apply themselves to. Father God, there's an incredible energy by the Holy Spirit that happens when we say yes to life. Say that with me. Yes. Say it again. Yes. One more time. Yes. Repeat after me. I believe God created the heavens and the earth. I believe Jesus is the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, lived a sinless life. I believe Jesus made a decision out of love and obedience to His Father in heaven. He went to the cross and died for all humanity. I believe that on the third day, the Father brought Him back to life again. I believe the same Spirit that raised Christ from the grave now lives in me, empowering me to do the good, acceptable, and perfect will of my Father in heaven. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And everyone say, give God a praise offering before you go. God bless you all. Wonderful Sabbath. Good way to start the week. You're dismissed.